something about, you know, the holiday, Christmas Eve, and things of that nature that you want to really share those particular stories. But today I want to focus on some things that are still in that time frame, but it's talking about the illumination. And we find that, you know, around the birth of Christ, there was just phenomenal things happening. You know, as we have the opportunity to read all that took place, we've got it in a Bible format, and we got it in scriptures, and we can sit here and read the story and how it unfolded with the angel appearing to different ones, preparing the way and preparing the hearts of Mary and Joseph and all these things that were taking place. But we find more interesting occurrences as well. We find it in that of the shepherds out in the field, you know, at night. And today I want to look at some of the area of the illumination of what happened when Christ was born. And we find that in Matthew a lot, but we find that more interesting occurrences have occurred even after that birth. And Matthew 2:2 tells of the wise men. And it said, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born of the king of the Jews?'" Go ahead, if you could, and throw that slide up with the stars. Do you have that? It'll be on a rotating thing. If you can pull it up and just start at number one and then let her go. And stars. Look at... No, you got to go into the folder, the sound booth folder that, like, the slides are in. So it'll be there, like, where the announcements are at, and then there should be a title there that says Stars 2013 or Stars something. The stars will come out. But what I want to look at and focus on these things is the fact that there was an illumination taking place with the birth of Christ. And you got to look at and think about these things, and we're not going to get into the what type of a star was it, and was it a special star, was it a supernova, was it stars exploding, was all these things. You know, there's a lot of studies and things of putting things together there. I just want to look at the part of it to where it just says that, you know, when he was born in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and they've come to worship him." And I guess today, have we come to worship him? Today, have we seen that light? And we realize that Jesus, and we'll find that in John, talks about, "I am the light of the world." You know, through Jesus, there's just a lot of things. But could you imagine the brightness of that light, and the wise men all of a sudden seeing that and saying, "There it is over there. There's something. That's where he's at. We've got to head that way." And even today, I'm not the only one. I know you guys, when you go out at night, and especially in the wintry sky, that you see a bright star here or the first star in the evening, and how it doesn't it draw your attention? We are drawn to light. We should be. Just like that of a moth is drawn to light, you know, in the summertime, turn your lights on outside. June bugs, you know, bugs, everything. Light draws things. And it should be the same, and it is the same. Light will draw. The light of Christ will draw people to him. Amen. There's something about it. There's, if nothing else, it's just the inquisitiveness of well, what is that light over there? What's taking place? And you get close enough, and you find out it's Christ. And so we will find that out as we go through some of these scriptures today about what the wise men were saying and where it takes us, and I think where it takes us even into today. Now, the thing is, and I don't even have this on here. I got myself going in different directions here, but I thought all of a sudden it hit me this morning. It's like in Genesis. In Genesis 1, we find out in 1:3, after the Lord had formed and this place was void and it was just, you know, without form and void and darkness was on the face of the earth. In Genesis 1:3, then God said, what? "Let there be light." And there was light. And you can look at that and all of a sudden I go to the New Testament and I'm reading that And I'm seeing these things, and I'm seeing the wise men. They notice the light, and they say, the king has been born. There's another light that the Lord has brought down before us. We look at it in the sky thinking, it's a beautiful, bright star. It's a supernova. It's something that's happening. And, you know, the magi or the wise men were like that of magi back in those days. And it wasn't like they were magic people and doing magic things. They were more of astronomers, and they studied the stars at night. So with that thought process, these wise men, these magi, they know the heavens. They know the stars and what these things and the constellations and all that they could know of back then. But they notice something totally different. They notice something that's brighter than it has ever been before. They notice that there's something different about that star, about that brightness and that location east of us that we need to go find. And then, of course, they say, the king, he's been born. And it's time to go find him. So we look at this. Now, as they get there and they find out where is he who has been born in Matthew 2, 1 to 2, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, where is he who has been born? And this is the thing that got Herod upset, I think, is when he said, the king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now, you've got to realize kings were pretty prideful people, weren't they? A king of today, maybe not, but maybe as much as today. But think in those days, when you were a king, you thought the sun rose and set on who? You. I'm the king. Everyone out there, you out there are subject to me. You will bow down to me. You will call me your king. You will listen. I will be proclaiming things. You will do what I say. So now you got these wise men, these magi, coming to him, Herod, and saying, hey, it is he who has been born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now this upset Herod. The wise men finish with Herod, and they depart. Now, during that time, what does he do? You know, he confers with some others, and they say, well, what? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, in verse 3, and all of Jerusalem with him. And all of Jerusalem with him. My goodness, it's just a baby. It's just a star. But look what happens. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, well, where is this Christ to be born? So it's not like it was a surprise or where he was actually to be born, because it says this. So they said to him in verse 5, Matthew 2, 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So they already have, he has an inkling, this is where he is to be born. Because it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not in the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. In verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Now, we had shared in Sunday school a little bit, and we're finding out that the wise men appear on the scene a year or so after the birth of Jesus. This is just something that's been going on. They're out of the manger scene now, and you'll find out as we read on that they find the house. So he's finding out and determining from the wise men, when did this time of the star appear? And then he sent them to Bethlehem, but he said, go and search carefully for this young child, and when you have found him, do what? Bring back the word to me that I may come and worship him. Is that what his motive was, to go worship him? No, ulterior motive was, you come, you find him, come back, tell me where he's at, I'm going to go, and I'm going to send someone there, and we're going to kill him. Because they're calling him the king. I'm the king. I'm King Herod. And so when they heard the king, they departed. Now remember, as we look at this, and these slides are just kind of moving around up here, and it just gives examples of the brightness and the stars and how these things. Wow. But here's what happens. And Chris, if you could please, go ahead and pull up that video now, and you can bring up that video for that YouTube and get it ready to go. We've not choreographed this all together, as you can tell. We're speaking back and forth. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Go ahead and play that video. We're having a visitors by the Martins. They came for us today.
Over mountains and valleys, in heaven each night, a star of most radiant light. The wise men rejoiced as they journeyed afar to behold such a beautiful star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy.
Wouldn't it? And that star back then is the star of Christ today. We find and we hear that the Lord speaks about it in John, that I am the light. He's still the light. He will be the light all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, the Martins. You may be seated now. Woo! Hallelujah. They, the wise men, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. The Living Bible says this, their joy knew no bounds. Do you have joy today that knows no bounds? Are you walking in the joy of the Lord? Are you walking in the season that we celebrate December the 25th, but are we walking it out in January, in February, in April, May, June? Are we walking in that joy that exceeds and there is no bounds to my joy? Woo! Hallelujah! I'm excited. So we find reference to this light, the star in the Old Testament. Now you can go back and you look at Numbers 24:17, where it talks about, I see him, but not now. I behold him, not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. This is in reference, and there's thoughts and thinking that this is prophecy saying that there's the star. Then we go into Isaiah 60, verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. We are hearing and reading this in the Old Testament thousands of years before this is happening. And then we find it where it says that they, the wise men, they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. For that star in the east over the sun, that baby, Jesus. So when Jesus entered the world, for some to find them, they followed the light given off by that bright star. We to this day have this light from Jesus for us to follow. We have that same light that we can share with others, don't we? That we can say, hey, come along with me. Let me take you down this journey, this path that is full of joy. Oh, tribulations, things, yeah, but don't worry about those. You've got those anyway. You'll work through it. He'll be there with you. He'll get you through those rough spots and those bumps in the road. He will be there. My goodness, but come to this light. So we, to this day, have this light from Jesus for us to follow him as well. Are you following that light today? Are you? Personally, are you following that light? As well as giving off this light to the dark world around us. Now we know, and it talks about the times that when darkness grows gloomier and gloomier, there can only be one thing that gets brighter and brighter. And what is it? The light. And who's the light? Christ. Who's the light in us? It's in us. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are filled with him, we ought to look and see just a radiant of light coming from you. Amen. Amen. No, I'm not going to do It's a Wonderful Life. But I did think about that, and we did watch that. But it's like that of the moon. Imagine the light in you that would just emit through your fingertips, through your eyes, through your out your ears, your nose, everywhere. Light. But really it does. If Christ is in you, the light of Christ in you, because he says, I am the light, and Christ is in us by that of the Holy Spirit, then we're there that people see you differently. You stand out because you're walking in a place that's full of darkness out there. No matter where you're at, no matter where you're going, no matter where you're working in places of darkness in that realm of the Spirit. And so we walk in that, but praise God that we have that light in us. We to this day have the light from Jesus for us to follow him as well as others to come along with us. We've got some great things to give out. Light in reference to God and Jesus. Well, look at some of these things. In Hebrews 1, the first chapter, first verse, first couple of verses, it talks about God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. In verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Sins. You look at that word sin, and the meaning basically means you missed the mark. That's what sin is about. You've missed the mark. See, God has a standard here, and his standard is high, isn't it? We know that. But we find in the fallen world, we find that what happened in the garden, and we find that what transpired with Adam and Eve and sin entered into the world, that at that moment, we missed the mark. Remember one time I shared about the card company that says Hallmark. Hallmark cards. And it's something that's precious. It's something, I can't exactly remember the whole verbiage of the hallmark, but whenever you, when it's a hallmark, it's special. It's right up there. It's top, you know, the hallmark. Well, as sin has come into our life and we've missed the mark, Christ came in as light, and he took that sin, which is missing the mark, And he's taken that from us so that we can be elevated and come through that time of our lives and continue to come through that time of our lives to where when things happen, when we sin, when we fall short, we have a counselor, we have an advocate there that stands there between us and God as the mediator, amen, and that we can come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Please, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I didn't do this. I'm sorry I did that. Whatever the case might be, when you sense that and feel that, that you've missed the mark. Sin is missing the mark. That Christ is there, the light of this world. Amen. Woo! So, my goodness. Who being the brightness of his glory in the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged Tim's sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. That's my Jesus. That's that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a feed trough. No room at the inn. Grew up as a child. Grew up with a mom and a dad. Christ. God came in the form of a human human being, but yet he suffered and lived and did everything like any one of us, other than he was completely sinless. We find in this about Jesus is the light of the world. John 1, 6 to 9 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and John is there doing what? Preparing the way. And we realize, and remember preparing for the birth of Christ, that Ananias and Elizabeth, you know, the angel had appeared to them and said, John is going to be there. And then John was several months older before Jesus was born. So John is there, but John is doing something very important. He's preparing the way. And it says this in John 1, 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That light being who? Jesus, that through him might believe, that all through him might believe. Amen. He, in verse 8, was not that light. John is not that light, but he's coming to prepare the way for the light. Amen. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which is given light to every man coming into the world. Every man, that's covering male and female, but everyone that comes into this world, even now in 2013 and 2014, that light that was given way back with the birth of Christ is the same light that we have available to them today. It's that same light that Jesus is. John 8:12. We got to go to that. John chapter 8. Verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, and this is like the second of the I am's in John of who Jesus is saying that he is. Amen. But the second point that he made, besides being I am the bread, is that he's going to this point here, because I think that was the first was that I am the bread, came down from heaven. But the second point that he makes to the I am in John 8:12 speaks to them again, saying, what? I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of what? Life. Oh, my goodness. And back in Genesis, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Things grow in the light. Things develop in the light. The only thing that grows in darkness is, I think, what? Mold and mushrooms? And dampness, I guess. But light is light. Light gives life. Light takes away things. Amen. And takes away the bad, but brings in good things. You know, we find, and even in society, we find that we get into the time of the season of winter where it's less sunlight and more darkness, we find that people's levels of depression do what? Increase. We find that people find in the times of winter and fall that they just don't have the same get up and go as they did in spring and summer because there's darkness. I've felt that way. I mean, come on, when the time changes and all of a sudden it's 4:15 and 4:30 and it's dark out, what do you feel like? And then when it's 6 o'clock, you feel like it's 10 o'clock, and you're going, huh, I guess I'll go to bed. It's only 6 o'clock. But we find that darkness breeds depression. But light takes that away. But we find, as in Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. Do you have the light of life in your daily walk today? Amen. 9:5. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am what of the world? I am the light of the world. So he's again talking about a man is born blind, receives the sight. And it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned in this man's life, his parents, that he might be born blind? And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God would be revealed in him. The works of God were going to be revealed in him because of that blindness. I must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. That gives us joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Jesus is my star. Jesus is my hallmark. Jesus is, he's what I want. And with him, I have that joy that's not bound by anything. Amen. It's only bound by what I want to put on that joy. If I allow the things of this world to weigh me down, to take away my focus on him, I will walk out of that joy and I will get into the doldrums of this world. I don't want to be there. And when I realize that I'm in those doldrums of this world and I no longer have that joy, I've got to do something about it. Amen. And the thing that I've got to do about it is I got to realize it's not that Jesus left this place and has caused me to be in the darkness. It's got to be that I've got to realize that I've done something. I've changed from my direction and my focus with him as the light of my life. Talks about his light as a path. My path is lit by his light. I'm walking in the light. Amen. As long as I'm staying in his light, I'm going to walk in his light, but I can veer off of that path and I can go into darkness or I can get into gray areas out there. And just like in how it affects us in our psyche as far as darkness and light in the winter, I can, when I get in darkness long enough, I can become depressed. When I get enough into the world, I can become depressed. I can do that by listening by news. I can do that by reading articles. I can do that by just conversations out in the highways and the byways. If I focus everything of my thoughts and talks and things about nothing but the negativity of this world, the negativity of this world will put a damper on my light. But I got to be wise and know that I've got to stand up to that. I've got to make a conscious effort to say, I'm not going to dwell in that. I'm going to walk in this light because Jesus says he is the light. He says that I am the, and as long as he's in the world, that he's going to be the light of the world. Well, woohoo! Talk about that in Psalms 119 and 105. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to what? My feet. And it does what to my path? It lights my path. His word that we read, that we meditate on, that we pray with, just as Linda was sharing as far as praying for our family and praying for our kids and praying for things, you know, we just need to pray it in a prayer and then realization, knowing that his word, as we pray his word into these situations, his word is what? A light into a path that maybe right now is dark, but his word will shadow that to cause light, and pretty soon there will be good outcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's only a couple of ways that you can get off course when you're walking a path that is lit. That's either by closing your eyes and not paying attention, or you get diverted in thoughts of something else and you're not paying attention and you get sidetracked and you misstep. When your path is lit, and if you're focused on that lighted path, there shouldn't be any wavering to and fro. You shouldn't be going this way or that way. You should be just going down his highway, his path, because it's lit. But we do get off path, even though we're on a path that's lit. It's because we turn aside from it. We turn to other things. We think we're still walking down that path, but yet we're looking this way or we're looking this way. And be careful, I don't fall off the steps. As much as I think I'm on that path of light, as I veer a little bit, I get from the center of it, I get over into that area. And then before you know it, I might hit that rumble strip. You know, I shared about that some time back, about how great it is in our technology on highways that for us that like to drive and look at the scenery, when I get too far left or right of an interstate highway, those little things in the road go and Dean looks over at me and I go, it's okay. I did that just to wake you up. She knows better. Or I was like, oh, I just did that to aggravate you. Well, no, generally not. It's usually because I was looking over and doing something, you know. One message years back, I don't know where it's at now, but I talked about having rumble strips in our path with God. That God would place those strips beside our walk so that we would be alert to the times when we just started just ever so gradual drifting. So that, boom, we'd get right back over in that lane. Stay between the lines. And he will do that. But you've got to ask him for that. You've got to be, you know, he's given all that he has given. He's given Christ. He's given Jesus as a way. He's given the light that we should have all the time. And so he said, what more, Tim, do I need to do for you? Well, maybe Tim's got to come up. Maybe I say, well, Lord, you know, for me, you know, for me personally, I just need you to with the Holy Spirit, nudge me, be careful when I get even to just drifting that way. Some people want to be notified by the Spirit when they get into the areas of sin, you know, like, well, okay, I feel like this is bad. I want the Holy Spirit to just let me know when I just start slowly drifting that way, that there's something in me that checks and balances. It says, be careful. You're getting into an area that, you know, they talk about, you know, sin is sin. It's missing that mark, but sin becomes sin when you act upon those things. That's when it really gets down to the nitty-gritty. So, you know, you've got to be cautious, and we have that ability by that of the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, we find that in getting back to this light, and the light sheds light on darkness, and we find that in Psalms 119 that he lights our path. What about Acts 26? A very familiar conversation. Acts 26. And it starts in, I can go to 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven. Now, brighter than the sun. That was my first thought. Well, he just saw the sun. Big deal. How many go outside and you know, it's a bright day outside and the blue sky and you look up and the sun is just so bright. Well, there's a bright light, but this is something different. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun. Now, how bright would that have to be? I don't have the understanding of how bright and the candle power of the sun, but I do know, standing on this earth where I'm at and I look at the sun, it's very bright. But what light in heaven could be even brighter than that? It had to be something that only God could do, that only God could overpower the light that he has placed within this in Genesis when he said, let there be light. There is only one light that is even brighter than that of the sun that he placed back then to shed light on this void and dark place. Think of that. Wow, I just thought that. It just came to me that even though he set the sun to bring light and then he divided day and night, for something when he speaks or when he sends or when he does something, the light that he has is even brighter than that that he has placed into the heavens. Because that's going to get your attention, guys. you get a 50-watt bulb and put a 500-watt bulb up here, and which one's going to draw your attention? Wow. So just think, that just as I was reading this, so I saw this light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. Here again, what has the Lord revealed to you? He will reveal things to you, won't he? In your quiet time, in your time with him, there's a revealing going on. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from what? Darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. But the point of that whole thing is Saul saw a bright light in the sky, but it was that brighter than that of the sun, and it's the Lord talking to him. Wow. What about the believers and the light? 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says that what? In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Do you see yourself as the light? Do you see yourself as a light, as a city set on a hill that is being visible to everyone? His word is telling these things to us. Oh, hit the wrong thing here. You are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. 1 John 5:7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that what? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's our God. That's my God. That's who I serve. That's who I pray to. That's where my prayers are answered from. That's who has conversation with me, and I have conversation with him. Is a God that has no darkness at all, but total light. If we say that we have fellowship with him, though, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Sin. Missing the mark. His blood, the little birth of Jesus, was coming to help us get past of that sin and where we were missing the mark with God. Because God made a way where there seemed to be no way, and we have our sins taken from us. And then being light bearers, and this is kind of wrapping it up here. Philippians 2:14. 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you do what? Shine as lights in the world. And so as we think of that star so long ago, and the wise men noting that, and they had to follow it, and they saw it, and it was guiding them after they had talked to King Herod and all. They said then the star went with them and helped draw them to where they needed to go. There's a star even today in all of our lives, and that's Jesus. Even today. Wow. That we don't walk in darkness. The New Testament presents Jesus as the personification of light or divine illumination. It talks in John 8:12, where I've already said, I am the light of the world. Jesus plainly stated that those who reject this divine light would bring judgment upon themselves in John 3:19 to 21. Jesus and the New Testament writers extended the figure of light to include faithful Christian witnesses who were called children of light in Ephesians 5:8. We find that this star mentioned the birth of Christ and announcing the birth of Christ. This star is only mentioned in the book of Matthew in connection with the visit of the wise men. This star, observed by wise men from the east, may be what the prophet Balaam refers to in Numbers 24:17, when it talks about a star shall come out of Jacob. We've looked at that already. Various attempts have been made to explain the star in scientific terms. Since the wise men were Babylonian astrologers, it is reasonable to assume that they were men who had seen the star during their regular observations of the heavens. Men who were familiar with the night sky would readily identify any new object. There are some scholars that suggest that it was a supernova, an exploding star. It's hard to say, but others argue that a rare alignment of planets in the sky signaled a highly unusual event to the astrologers. That of the appearance of a meteor or an unidentified comet has also been suggested. The event as recorded in Matthew indicates the star was a supernatural phenomenon. The Bible clearly declares that the star went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. None of the proposed natural explanations fits this description adequately. Matthew obviously understood the star as an occurrence beyond the reach of rationalistic explanations. But I like, as it concludes here, at the same time, our attention should be focused not on the star of Bethlehem, but on the Messiah, Jesus. And that's what it's all about. We've had all of these occurrences, and we've had all of these things brought to our attention to bring attention to the birth of Jesus. A highly unusual birth, for sure. And we celebrate it yearly, and we have a great time around the presents and the trees and visiting a family and all. But then when you think past that and realization of that light, and he is the light, and that light is in us, and we're guided by the light, that I just pray that this year, even in 2014, that we see this light in a different level, in a better level, in a level that maybe we've not attained in the past decade or the past, year, whatever the case might be in our walk with God, that we really take a focus and say, there's something about this light. Because when those wise men, when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, a endless type of joy that just never stopped. Gosh, that's what I want for this year too. Just joy, joy, joy. Well, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Yes, I do. Then it talks about, I got the peace of the pathless understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. You can have that. And what you've got, you can freely give out. At least give an indication of how people can receive that. Amen. Don't give what you've got. Keep it for yourself. But say, hey, there's plenty more. Here it is. Just receive Christ as your Lord. He's come to do all this. He's come to take the sins of this world away. He's come to take those things that people have missed the mark and to bring us into that right alignment and the right standings with God. Amen. Day in and day out. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. You're a wonderful God. We see your hand in so many things. We thank you for the story of the Christmas story, Lord.